Shalom, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי...
Hello, we're reading from Rabash Social Writings, page 14, article Love of Friends. You may ask questions on Kab.TV, select the questions will be aired during the lesson.
Let's imagine a state where we have a little child and we want to explain to this little child something that he can't understand according to his intellectual, psychological abilities. Suppose he's 3 or 4 years old and we're starting to explain about the relationships between grown-ups, which is something that is entirely unsuitable. He doesn't understand what we're talking about. It's of no interest to him. And it doesn't fit any of his definitions. This is how it is with us. When we read the books of Kabbalists, we have to actually somehow arrange ourselves, direct ourselves to a state where we don't understand what they're writing about. Suppose the article Love of Friends. I don't know what friends are, and I don't know what love is. Because in spirituality, friends, these are parts of my soul, but I don't feel them. I confuse it immediately with the corporeal concepts that we have in this world, the friends that I go to hang out with in the evening, that I go on a trip with, that I grew up with maybe. Here, it's something else. If I want to discover my soul, the eternal part in reality, and in the meantime, I got this temporary existence that doesn't really exist, our imaginary world, then I have to see that here we're talking about my eternal part that belongs to my eternal structure, that also seems to me as some kind of an imagination in the form of these special people, that providence, the network of our connections, this broken web of our connections, brought us together. We have to build some kind of a system, imaginary system in the meantime, but one that would be as close to spirituality as possible, and also give it definitions correspondingly. What are human beings in general? What are these friends in particular? What does love of friends mean? And so on. That it's not sitting with them, eating, drinking, dancing, something, studying together, but it is a special spiritual kind of connection that it's not that each will do pleasant things for the other. This could only be as a means. But really, love of friends, it means that each acts instead of the others. That's the hardship. That's the one hardship that we have regarding the matter. The other hardship is that, nonetheless, we perceive the Torah the way we understand every story in our world. as if there is time and space and motion, which is something that doesn't exist in spirituality. So the entire history that we hear about doesn't exist? And suppose the entire history that the Torah speaks about, tells about, Egypt, Egyptian exile, no such thing. I don't imagine that something like this ever happened, even though that this is what is written. But it's not about this story. It's about a state that a Kabbalist goes through in order to reach the real perception, the real only existing perception, where he has to go through different stages of preparation. And then he reaches it. So, here too, I need to every time see myself that it's not something historic telling about a group of people that moved from place to place, that escaped from one place to another, but we're talking about the emotional impression of a person that feels that is under such conditions in which he determines that this is spiritual exile, exile from spirituality. And so correspondingly, what is spiritual redemption, development, that everything speaks only about that which happens inside a person. And from one day to the next, I'd like to see that I'm disconnecting from these historic and corporeal and geographical stories, and that I decipher them, that I explain them to myself in an internal, emotional way. Regarding myself or regarding anyone else that wants to go through that same spiritual path. That it all in all happens only in the periods of a person's spiritual development. So both love of friends and the entire Torah in general, we have to see it all only internally in our development. We'll try. Let's read.
The Social Writings of Rabash, page 14, Love of Friends. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" And he said, "I seek my brothers. Tell me, I pray you, where are they feeding the flock?" A man wandering in the field refers to a place from which the crop of the field to sustain the world should spring. And the work of the fields are plowing, sowing, and reaping. It is said about that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And thus it is called a field which the Lord has blessed. Baal HaTurim explained that a person wandering in the field refers to one who strays from the path of reason, who does not know the real way which leads to the place that he should reach. As in an ass wandering in the field, and he comes to a state where he thinks that he will never achieve the goal he should achieve. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" Meaning, "How can I help you?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. By being together with my brothers, that is, by being in a group where there is love of friends, I will be able to mount the trail that leads to the house of God. This trail is called a path of bestowal. And this path is against our nature. And to be able to achieve it, there is no other way but love of friends, by which everyone can help his friend. And the man said, they are departed hence. And Rashi interpreted that they had departed themselves from the brotherhood, meaning that they do not want to bond with you. This, in the end, caused Israel's exile in Egypt. And to be redeemed from Egypt, we must take it upon ourselves to enter a group that wants to be in love of friends, and by that, we will be rewarded with exodus from Egypt and the rejection of the Torah. Sorry, be rewarded with the exodus from Egypt and the reception of the Torah. Again. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked, saying, what are you seeking? And he said, I seek my brothers. Tell me, I pray you, where are they feeding the flock? A man wandering in the field refers to a place from which the crop of the field to sustain the world should spring. And the works of the field are plowing, sowing, and reaping. It is said about this that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And this is called a field which the Lord has blessed. Baal Turim explained that a person wandering in the field refers to one who strays from the path of reason, who does not know the real way, which leads to the place he should reach. As in an ass wandering in the field. And he comes to a state where he thinks that he will never achieve the goal he should achieve. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? Meaning, how can I help you? And he said, I seek my brethren. By being together with my brothers, that is, by being in a group where there is love of friends, I will be able to mount the trail that leads to the house of God. The trail is called a path of bestowal. And this way is against our nature. To be able to achieve it, there is no other way but love of friends, by which everyone can help his friend. And the man said, they are departed hence. And Rashi interpreted that they had departed themselves from the brotherhood, meaning they do not want to bond with you. This, in the end, caused Israel's exile in Egypt. And to be redeemed from Egypt, we must take it upon ourselves to enter a group that wants to be in love of friends. And by that we will be rewarded with exodus from Egypt and the reception of the Torah.
If we'll be corrected, if I, not we, I will be corrected, how will I feel my group and the entire world with all their different traits and qualities? Workshop question. If I shall be corrected, were I to be corrected,
how will I feel all the parts in me, right? I'll see them as those that do the actions of the Creator, that the force of the Creator is acting through them and through me. And he's the one that connects everything and does all the actions, actually.
A person who's corrected sees that he's in a group that works according to the love of friends, and that this is how you attain and are in the upper force that connects them. In perfection.
Yep, not only love of friends, everything that happens in the group, everything that happens in the world, we'll feel that it exists here, that it exists in us, between us. And with that, we'll work in order to connect it to the upper force.
And this felt like this one organism where you feel our ties of bestowal, and not what happens personally inside of me. And that those parts outside of me, this is the purpose of life, this is the direction, this is the direction which I'm working all the time, that I want for everything to go there, all my dreams, my aspirations, my everything.
Yep, that he'll feel concerned that from feeling the desire of the friends. And he wants them to be tied to the Creator at every moment. And from that concern, he works.
Yeah, I discover and see the clothings of the upper force and all the friends through which he expresses his attitude, love, connection with us, his way to reveal and hide himself, but it's all one mechanism working for our benefit.
Person doesn't see personalities, he sees everything that takes place outside, he sees it inside according to his qualities.
Rob, how can we explain this article as a person's internality? A person feels himself in the field and he meets a person and the things that he says and where are they and where did they go and so on. How does a person, how does each of us explain it internally? The Torah doesn't speak about any external story. But only in order to pass it on from one generation to the next, then it's written this way. But whoever wants to enter the internality of the Torah has to exert to decipher, to interpret it correctly. Go ahead.
Talks about a person that has inner scrutinies in
only precisely and shortly.
Talking about a person that starts walking a spiritual path and suddenly he realizes that the greatness and importance that he had now suddenly is gone. And he goes out to find it.
And the search, in his search, he discovers that besides his current state, there's another state, another quality, completely different quality that he starts developing if he starts looking inside, among all the rest of his qualities.
Rav, look inside the book. Look what it says. It says, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. Start with that. Explain it in concrete, simple manner to the point. What does it mean to understand this with respect to man's internality?
This is already a very advanced state where a person understands that if he wants to realize his desire for adhesion with the Creator to reach spirituality, he is dependent on all the rest of the parts. He has to be connected with them because he can't realize it on his own.
Yep, and then from that search of connection to the Creator, he understands that he must be in connection to the friends, but at this point he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know what to ask, in what way to move forward, in what way to act with respect to them.
Yeah, it's a very advanced state where a person, because he feels that he is deviating from the right direction, maybe he's on the wrong path, maybe his scrutinies aren't precise enough, he feels a need for a group, for the power of bestowal through which, with which, he can connect and be directed at the Creator with, because he strayed from the correct path.
Rav, you need to say this in a certain way. And a certain man found him. Who? I find a man in me. Right? What do I feel? How do I feel this man? I feel that he's wandering in the field, that there is a field, that there you can find spirituality, but meanwhile, this man is wandering in the field, and so on. Continue.
So he intellectually looks at things and sees the criticism that he has against the friends, that they're not in love with friends, not keeping the goal.
And a certain man found him, meaning there's a quality in us that wants to be found, and a person, when he wants to find it, he finds that he's wandering in the field, and that place of work of his, he doesn't exactly know where to go or what to do. And then he asks him, what do you want? And he says, I seek my brothers, meaning he seeks those qualities that were there and led me to connection, that focused me to there is none else besides him. Those are the things I want to bring back. I want to rise to that degree.
That he found, it shows about those moments where we're awake and then we're starting to wonder and look and ask and scrutinize. And the brothers that he looks for is that he feels that there are deeper, more hidden things inside of him that he can start revealing.
In order for the field to produce yield, there needs to be work, there needs to be plowing. And for the Creator to be revealed in him, he understands that it needs to be revealed externally through his connection to others. That work isn't simple, it's in tears, it's opposite of the desire.
Rob, meaning, if I find in me a man who feels that he's strayed, that he's wandering, he's off the path, and he doesn't know how to reach spirituality, what kind of recommendation can I give that person? What does he have to do in order to find the right path in the field in order to reach the goal? Eventually, this person, as it says, and they ask him, what are you asking for? Meaning, how can I help you? And he says, what do I need? I need my brothers. I'm asking for my brothers. Where it already has to be clear to that person, if he strayed and strayed and strayed and he was searching and he understands that what he needs is people that are like him. Why should he be together with them and so on and so forth? Clear? Questions? None. Yeah?
It's unclear. Who is the conversation between? I thought man was the whole state and wandering in the...
How do I know? The person is the one inside me searching for the spiritual goal, how to reach it, how to realize it. That's the person in me. All the rest, that's the donkey that's wandering in the field.
And who is he asking and who is answering him?
He himself's asking. He himself is asking. He's in this state, yeah.
It seems he knows what he wants. He wants his brothers.
But in the meantime, he's wondering. He doesn't know how to find them. He doesn't know his way around. He's disoriented. Yeah?
Fabrico from Argentina is asking, what are the tears that you go with? Is it suffering? Is there suffering in Torah?
Of course, if I'm searching, if I want and I don't get what I want on the spot, that's suffering. Anything. If the very instant that I want something, I don't get fulfillment, it's called suffering. Yeah.
Unclear. A person who is lost in the field, it's, how does he search for his brothers?
It's a process. In the meantime, he hears that there is something like that, but he's still not searching on the inside, like you. Yes, Hanoch.
The answer is to love the brothers, and the answer is the brothers don't love you. How's that connected to?
I don't know. This is not what it's about. It says about that I have to find and develop love there. They love, they don't love. It doesn't say about that. Be more connected to what we're studying. Yeah.
It's written in the article.
What does it say there?
The man said they had departed. Hence, Rashi interpreted that they had departed themselves from the brotherhood, meaning they do not want to bond with you.
Yeah.
Meaning his answer, he says that a person himself to reach that connection are people who want to be in love of friends, meaning that you need to love them. I need to reach love thy friend. They don't need to love me. Why does he answer to him that they don't want to connect to him?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. We see different critical points in the article.
Who are the same brothers that he's searching for? It's not bodies, as I understand.
These are all qualities inside a person. Everything that it talks about, the Torah speaks about one man who includes the entire world.
So if I understood correctly, these same brothers, they were, they're 10 sefirot?
I don't know about sefirot. Do you know what a sefira is? That I'll, so I'll tell you yes. If I'll say yes, then you understand what it is. Don't use words that you don't understand what they mean, that you don't feel them, that are none of your business, so to speak. These are traits inside a person, something that's close to you, something that you can be emotionally connected with. Yeah, Itzik.
What does it mean when he writes here that he is lost in the in this understanding?
That in the meantime, this is his situation. That it's a lengthy search, and until he really connects, and also the connection, it should be very specific. So that they'll feel that finally they found a path to connection, and that's called entering Egypt. Meaning for them, Egypt is already a place for spiritual advancement.
I would expect for it to be seeing that he's mistaken in the points in the heart, in his heart. What does it mean that he's mistaken in his mind?
Well, let's say that in the meantime, he doesn't feel. He only knows, he only understands that this is the way to reach it, through connection, through love. If they'll connect, then they will reach a result. Yeah?
A student from Spain is asking, what does it mean that the work of the field is to plow, to seed, to...
These are the three types of work in the network of our connections in order to turn it into a place that gives yield, that gives fulfillment to the soul. Yeah?
He says here, what does it mean that he's wandering? that he thinks he will never reach the goal that he is wanting to reach.
Sure, on the one hand.
But something's still holding him.
What holds him is what holds a person. It's not that he himself holds himself.
But it's clear to him that his state that he thinks about now, that it's...
It is in a person's ability on each and every degree, in each and every state. He is less and less certain of his own forces. On the contrary, he understands that without the Creator's help, he cannot move. Not in criticism, not in good, not in bad. Yeah. It says here that the right path, the right way to bestow is the love of friends. And you said that love of friends is that I have to act in place of the other. Act how? Do what? To give the friend what he lacks. How can I know what does he lack? Should I ask him? To try and feel. If you love the other, then first of all, it means that your kli is working in order to fulfill his kli. Love is an expression of connection. And connection is that each gives the others what they lack. It's called make your desire like his. That I have to feel what is the friend lacking, corporeally, spiritually. We can talk about it. And I fulfill that deficiency. No one can fulfill himself. This is the only way that we can fulfill each other. So, I'm on the right path, or the friend, or are we together? If you fulfill the friend, then you are on the right path. Okay. Yeah.
How do we build these qualities, which are called friends? How do we build them as an environment that will help me walk in the path of bestowal?
How do we organize them? We feel that everything's on the inside, that this imaginary world is imaginary, and that all of these images are inside of me, and this is how I want to feel them and connect them, so much so that they'll really be as one. This is how I have to decipher the entire wisdom of Kabbalah, the entire Torah. Everything's inside one person. The Torah is written for a single person. Yeah.
Can we get an example of a kind of quality that can be called a friend?
Yeah. The type of connection, my connection that identifies myself with other qualities that it seems to me that they're not close, that I don't want them, and that I try to identify with them. Suppose in me there's this image called Itai, and I feel some kind of disrespect for him. So now I have to work on it so that this quality will be no less important for me than my quality called Michael.
To feel it as an actual quality, is that already...
I have to try.
Moving to the writings of Rabash.
Oh, we'll talk about this many more times and work on it. We have to take care of these things right now. But try to think, read this article several times during the day, it's short, and again and again to find it inside yourself.
Writing to Rabash, Volume 2, page 843 in the Hebrew book. What is the bread of an evil-eyed man in the work? It's written in the Zohar, Shmot. Rabbi Chiya stated, "Do not eat the bread of an evil-eyed man, since it is not good to eat and enjoy the bread or the pleasure from that evil-eyed man. And had Israel not tasted the bread of the Egyptians when they went down to Egypt, they would not have been left in exile in Egypt, and they would not be able to harm them." It says, "There is no evil bread in the world, but the bread of an evil-eyed man." What does it say? Because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. This means that they could not look at the Hebrews eating. Thus, an evil-eyed bread. We should understand the prohibition of the bread of an evil-eyed man to such an extent that had Israel not tasted the bread of the Egyptians, they would not have remained in exile. And this is very perplexing. What is the connection between the bread of an evil-eyed man and the exile? Why does it cause them to be in exile, implying this is a grave prohibition? Is it included in the negative mitzvot from the Torah or by our great sages that it warrants exile?
So again, to try and find this inside yourselves, what is Egypt, what is the bread, what is the evil-eyed bread, the bread of an evil-eyed man, what kind of discernments do you reach as a result?
In order to understand this, we need to understand the two things always. A is the purpose of creation, which is to benefit the created beings. This reminds us that we must achieve wholeness and merit, receiving the delight and pleasure found in the purpose of creation. Prior to this, a person is regarded as deficient because he has not achieved the purpose of creation and is still in the middle of the work. In Kabbalah, this is considered that a person should be rewarded with attaining the Naran Chai in the root of his soul. 2. The correction of creation. Since disparity of form creates separation, and since man was created in order to be able to receive delight and pleasure, he must have a desire and yearning to receive pleasure. And that will to receive separates him from the root, since the Creator wants to bestow. But the created beings have a desire to receive. This causes separation that removes the creatures from the Creator. Therefore, a correction took place called Tzimtzum, restriction, and concealment, whereby the creatures cannot feel their roots, meaning who created them, before they correct the separation. It is written, "Thus you find that this nefesh, the light of life that is dressed in the body, extends from his essence, existence from existence. As it traverses the four worlds of Biyah, it becomes increasingly distant from the light of his face until it comes into its designated kli called Guf. And even if the light in it has so diminished that its origin becomes undetectable through engagement in Torah and mitzvot, commandments and good deeds, in order to bring contentment upon his Maker, he purifies his kli called Guf until it becomes worthy of receiving the great abundance in the full measure included in the thought of creation when he created it. Accordingly, we can understand that our work is to emerge from self-love, meaning that our sustenance should be from sustaining the body so it has life and can enjoy life, not because the will to receive for oneself is enjoying, for it is called evil-eyed, meaning that it does not want to be a giver, but wants only to receive for itself. This is called evil-eyed, when it does not want to give anything to others and is immersed in self-love. This is called evil-eyed. Therefore, the nourishments that a person eats, which is called bread, are forbidden for a person to enjoy, as it is the bread of an evil-eyed man. That is, a person is enjoying and satiating himself on the bread of an evil-eyed man. That is, that which the evil-eyed man enjoys gives pleasure to the person. In other words, the will to receive, which is called evil-eyed, enjoys, and from this comes all the joy and high spirits that a person receives. This he does not agree to receive, because this pleasure causes him to part from Kedusha due to the disparity of form. Now we can understand what we have asked. What is the grave prohibition of do not eat the bread of an evil-eyed man, for which Israel stayed in Egypt, in exile? It is as it says, had Israel not tasted the bread of the Egyptians when they went down to Egypt, they would not have been left in the exile in Egypt. Exile means that the people of Israel could not work in order to bestow upon the Creator, but only in order to receive for oneself. This is called the exile in Egypt. They had been cautious not to eat, meaning not to enjoy what the Egyptians enjoy, meaning the evil eye, which is the will to receive for oneself. They would not have come under their control in the exile. It follows that the gravity of the prohibition of an evil-eyed man is because his bread is entirely in order to receive, and this causes all the separation from Kedusha. This is the prohibition of do not eat the bread of an evil-eyed man. That is, all of our work in Torah and Mitzvot is in order to emerge from the exile of the will to receive for ourselves. In other words, we must aim, while engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, that our reward will be that by this we will be rewarded with emerging from the exile and enslavement in the will to receive for oneself. And we will be able to work only in order to bring contentment to the Creator. And we will not demand any other reward for our work in Torah and Mitzvot. In other words, we want to be rewarded with feeling while engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, that we are serving a great and important King, and that by this there will be love of the Creator within us from feeling His exaltedness. However, all of our pleasure will come from serving the Creator. This will be our reward, and not that He will somehow reward us for the work. Instead, we will feel that the work itself is the reward, and there is no greater reward in the world than the privilege of the studying. Conversely, the bread of the Egyptians in the work is the complete opposite, as it's written, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for this is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Abomination comes from the verse, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians, meaning that they despise the shepherds. For this reason, the meaning is that the Egyptians despised the food of the Hebrew, since all the bread of the Hebrews, meaning their nourishment, was in order to bestow. And to the Egyptians, all the bread is evil-eyed, namely to receive. And when they heard that the Hebrews' bread is to bestow, and bestowal is loathsome and despicable, since when they must work in order to bestow and not to receive for their own sake, they regarded this as despicable, and they do not feel any taste in it. And they do not feel any taste in it. Therefore, as soon as the Egyptians heard that we must work in order to bestow, they came to feel that they must lower themselves. meaning that all their reason, which mandates that a person should see to his own benefit, and they cannot do anything that does not yield self-benefit. Therefore, when the body is under the governance of Egypt, as soon as it hears the slightest hint that we must work in order to bestow, it immediately despises this work and claims that it is still with all its wits and will not surrender and eat the Hebrew's bread. As for them, this bread is abomination because this bread is against reason.
Barur?
Clear?
Yofi.
Good.
Dani.
What does the work of the Egyptians mean? In short.
The work of the Egyptians? To take everything for themselves.
And Roy, the work of the Jews.
To connect all the states, everything that happens directly to the Creator.
Okay. Why is it abomination, Yuda?
Lack of importance. There aren't suitable vessels to fill that state.
Shaike, add.
We feel rejection. There isn't any reward there.
Meaning the Egyptians simply can't. There are qualities that simply can't appreciate the work of in order to bestow. Not for better, not for worse, not for nothing. To determine that this is how it is, that this is the situation. Now, why is it called evil-eyed?
Because they despise this work.
Despise this work. Why do the Egyptians despise the work of the Jews? Well, go ahead.
Because they feel that no reward will grow out of it from what they want.
Right. Good. What else does it say here?
The main point is that the work is the reward. That's what the Egyptians don't know.
True. Not really that much to ask, right? It's becoming clear. Still, I'd like to go back to the first article. Read it again, please. Dudi. So, going back to Rabash, the social writings, article Love of Friends.
Read it again.
Writings of Rabash, Love of Friends, Article 14, page 14.
Each one tries to build an inner image of this story. There is no corporeality, there is nothing. There are only emotions which are unvacant.
And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" And he said, "I seek my brothers. Tell me, I pray you, where they're feeding the flock." A man wandering in the field refers to a place from which the crop of the field to sustain the world should spring. And the works of the field are plowing, sowing, and reaping. It said about that, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And this is called the field which the Lord has blessed. Bala Turim explained that a person wandering in the field refers to one who strays from the path of reason, who does not know the real way, which leads to the place he should reach, as in an ass wandering in the field. And he comes to a state where he thinks that he will never achieve the goal he should achieve. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" Meaning, "How can I help you?" And he said, "I seek my brothers." By being together with my brothers, that is, by being in a group where there is love of friends, I will be able to mount the trail that leads to the house of God. This trail is called a path of bestowal, and this way is against our nature. To be able to achieve it, there is no other way but love of friends, by which everyone can help his friend. And the man said, "They are departed hence." And Rashi interpreted that they had departed themselves from the brotherhood, meaning they do not want to bond with you. This, in the end, caused Israel's exile in Egypt. And to be redeemed from Egypt, we must take it upon ourselves to enter a group that wants to be in love of friends. And by that, we will be rewarded with exodus from Egypt and the reception of the Torah. Who is this person that it speaks about? And that person said that they departed from him. Who knows? Shout without mic. The attribute of bestowal. No. Who else? Yeah? The desire for spirituality. No. No. Yes? It's the Creator. Who's the one who's guiding that we want to find with all of our inner actions? Who's the one scrutinizing? Who's the one pushing us? This is who we're looking for. This is the man. As it says, from the very first encounter, and a certain man found him, up to the point of, and they departed. Meaning, if you're looking for the friends, you'll reach the goal. Yes.
The friends from the virtual group in Europe are asking, who creates the Creator within me? Is it I who do it, the friends, or the Creator?
Create. No one does, besides the Creator. How is it possible? Is there any other force that does anything? I only have to try and make my soul, my emotions, my senses more subtle, not to blur them, and then to start arranging the entire Torah internally. Everything that I see outside of myself, eventually, I have to see it the way it is arranged on the inside. And especially the matter of society and the spiritual process. Questions, yeah?
In the previous article, what is the bread that we reminded the fact that the work of Israel, the reward is in the work.
Yeah.
But it says here that from that it will grow contentment to the Creator, and for other kind of reward we don't demand a thing.
Right. What is the reward in the work? What do I have from the work? Only, who do I relate it to?
Meaning, contentment to the Creator, it's also kind of a reward.
Yes, undoubtedly. A person is not crazy. He's not a baby. He's not mentally ill. He can't do something which is needless. There is always a deficiency at the beginning of the work and satisfaction in the end of the work, if it's the right action. Otherwise, what? When we're saying to work in order to bestow and not to get a reward, it's not that you're not getting anything. You're not getting a reward in the will to receive, but you do in the will to bestow. I want to bestow to the Creator. I want to feel that I'm bestowing to the Creator. I have to enjoy bestowing to the Creator. And here is the matter that we always think about, that this pleasure is like our pleasure. I enjoy benefiting Him. I'm not enjoying in my ordinary vessels. It's called an Or Chozer in the light of Chassadim. Meaning that if I could do more for Him, then I would. Maybe I'd suffer a bit more corporeally, but I'd still do it. I measure everything in His vessels. The light of Chassadim, it's not a person's, it's not a man's kelim. The light of Chassadim helps me feel what's going on inside of Him. And this is how I examine myself. This isn't to receive. I understand that still the words here, they can't convey. They can't convey the correct state. So, during the day, we're trying to start and arrange all the Egypt with everything else as much as possible inside of man. From the story of Jacob through entering Egypt and Joseph and Pharaoh and the minister of drinks and so on and the wife of Potiphar, doesn't matter who and what. Everything inside of man. Inside of man. Don't turn it into children's stories, yeah?
So, it's not for beginners. It's for a person that is many years on the path and he understands. It's then someone that...
Someone's for many years and someone came yesterday. It's for him too, why not?
Because at a certain point, the article goes into... that he reaches the question to the Creator, that he searches his brothers, he searches these qualities.
To correctly decipher, to read correctly this article, this is possible after many years, and this is how it is with the entire wisdom of Kabbalah.
What we want to now depict and what we're trying to understand is who is turning to the Creator, or is the Creator turning to man and asking him, what do you want? And a person says to him, I want these qualities, meaning the closest possible ones.
Meaning that a person's already in a state where he understands that he needs his brothers. That only by connecting with what's called brothers that are close to him in some way, but they're close because of the parents. He has to reach a connection with these qualities. In the past, we were connected in the network of the connections of Adam HaRishon. Then we parted. There's hatred among us. And we have to connect again.
So he turns to the Creator and he says, I want these brothers, help me find them.
Yeah.
And how does the Creator help him? How does he find his brothers inside? These qualities specifically.
He puts a person into a state where that person starts understanding that what internality is he really working with. This is what's starting to become revealed in Egypt.
And how does he...
How does he find these qualities? After he's into, after he goes into Egypt, take the story as an example and completely shift it to your inner feelings. Take the Torah on a clean slate of paper and start writing a commentary to the Torah.
So it's
really, really...
And we'll call it Rabbi Yitzchak. Vlad, Dr. Vlad's commentary.
But we're in that stage where it's like you have to find your brothers, where
we are now in a stage where we have to enter the internality. And now we're moving on to tests.
We'll move to the next part of this lesson.